Would you join me in prayer as we ask God's blessing upon our time in His Word? Father, I can't think of any other thing that best captures who You are than Your love. Oh, Father, You have not only displayed love to us, but You have communicated to us that You are love. It's a mind-blowing thing to consider. And so, Father, as we journey deep into Your Word this morning, we ask for a display of Your love that would blow our minds. Father, open our hearts to know Your love and to cherish Your love and to experience Your love, Father, again today. And then from there, Father, change us and transform us so that we would be a people who love. A people who love like You love. And then who go out from this place to display that to the world. We need Your help, Lord, as we examine this Word. We cannot come on our own. We come in dependence in prayer and looking to Your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Well, what I want to do this morning is ask two main questions. There are two big 60,000-foot questions that we're after this morning. The first is, how are we to love? If the command is, you are to love, then what is it we are to love? How are we to love? What does it look like to, as a Christian, be a loving person, to show love? And the Scriptures are very easy in answering this question. It's very straightforward. In fact, it directly answers the question in John chapter 13, 34, and 35. Jesus says these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now listen, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We are to love just as we have been loved by God. That is the answer to the first question. The next question then follows. How has God loved us? If we are to love the way He has loved us, we need to know clearly how has He loved us so that we can then love others in that way. And I don't imagine the world could contain a sermon as long as it would take to comprehensively and fully capture and preach the love of God. We have a short time this morning that we will attempt maybe a summary form of these things. This is not a comprehensive sermon, but you'll see on your notes there are 9 slots for you to plug in, 9 points. I went through the Scriptures and I picked out 9 ways the Lord has shown love to us, then that we should emulate and then love others in that way. So if you want to know love, you first look to the heart of God. The heart of God. So the outline is God's heart, my heart, the hearts of others. So we're going to look first at God's heart. How has He loved us? God has loved us and loves us, number one, humbly. Humbly. God has loved us with humble love. I take this from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God has in Christ loved us with a humble love. The humility that it took God made man in Christ to not only take the form of that which He has created and holds together by His very word. That's like the potter becoming a pot. Amazing amount of humbling that took. But not only stopping there, He went on to be willingly laying His life down at the hands of His creation. For them, in love, He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. So God has loved us with a humble love. Number two, God loves us sacrificially. We have been loved sacrificially. Obviously, tied in with the theme of his son coming to die and pay for our sins on the cross. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved," it's his love that sent Jesus. He loved the world in such a way that he gave his only son. He sacrificed his one and only son so that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish in eternal hell, but have eternal life with him. It's a sacrificial love that we have been loved by God. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin." Jesus was a perfect man. And on Jesus Christ, the Father heaped upon the sins of humanity. My sins, your sins. He paid for our sins on the cross, so that we might have the righteousness of God in us. We might be the righteousness of God. That's love. That's love. Now, I have a one and only son here. His name is Ethan, right down here. Give him a wave. All right. That's my one and only son, and I love that boy with all my heart. God the Father, out of love for us, sacrificed his son. That's love. That's love. We have been loved sacrificially. Number three, God loves us graciously. We have been loved graciously. Now, grace, literally, the easy memory for grace of what it means is you get what you don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. It's more than you should get, you get. Mercy is not getting what you should. That's withholding of punishment. Grace is the bestowing of favor and grace upon someone who doesn't deserve it. God has loved us graciously. It says in Romans 5:8, he shows his love for us. His love has been given to us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't look down on the sea of humanity and say, "You know what? There are some people who are really worthy of being saved. Therefore, I will show love to them because they deserve it." He looked down on the sea of humanity of which we are all a part, and he says, "I love you in spite of you and your sin and your rebellion and your running away from everything that I would give you. Despite all of that, I love you. And I'll die for you. Send my son." In this, the love of God was made manifest, made visible. God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the payment or the propitiation for our sins. We have been loved graciously by God. We don't deserve his love. We deserve his wrath, rightly and justly. We deserve his wrath. He has dealt not in wrath, but in grace and love for us. That's how we've been loved. Number four, God is a patient giver of love. He is patient in his love. This, if you want to know the heart of God, this is one of the verses that captures it so well. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient. He's patient toward you, not wishing any to perish, but that all would reach repentance." God is patient. He's patient. It says just before this, "A day is as 1,000 years. He's putting up with your sin. He's waiting. He's patient in his love because he delights in salvation more than judgment. The heart of God is a heart delighted in salvation and saving and grace and repentance far above judgment and wrath. Now, some of you don't have that understanding of God. You think of God as the Father in heaven with the lightning bolts in his hand who gets some kind of joy and pleasure out of making your life horrible and striking you down. That is not the God of the Bible. He is just, and you will get what you deserve, but never anymore. And most often, God is going to be gracious and give you less than you deserve, because he pours out the wrath that is yours rightly on his Son, Jesus. He's always just in his love, but he's gracious and he's patient. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Exodus 34, Moses watching. This is how God reveals himself early in the scriptures. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. I say that verse all the time. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Now, it doesn't stop there. It goes on. Verse 8 and 9 say how he does visit in wrath those who sin. But this is a God of grace and steadfast love. He's merciful. And he forgives. Number 5, God is generous in his love. He's a generous God. He gives generously of his love in his Son and his many gifts. Look at this. If God is for us, Paul writes, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If you need, he will meet it. If you have something that is lacking, he will fill it. It is the Lord who gives generously of his love. You can see how these things come together. How you begin to see this list build. He has loved us in so many ways. Look, generous in his love. We move on prayerfully. This is an interesting one to consider. God has loved us prayerfully. Jesus in John 17, as he prayed for his disciples, he said, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Why? To see my glory that you have given me because you loved me. Jesus says to the Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is a mind-blowing thing. Jesus prays for the followers that he had worked and walked with for all these years. And this prayer comes to us as well through the ages. The priestly prayer of Jesus for us. And it comes in a sense, you hear Jesus say, I want the people who know me to experience the love that you have for me. In eternity past, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit showed infinite love for one another. And then Jesus is praying, make them a part of that. I want them to have an experience of our love. And so he prays in love for us. It's an amazing prayer to consider. The gift of forgiveness and grace makes possible that sinners who deserve only hell can experience forgiveness and joy and fullness of life and love of the Trinity. The love the Father has for the Son is the love that is now accessible to you and I. Number 7, God loves us truthfully. God loves us truthfully. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not beat around the bush and call it love. He didn't pull back or dull it down and make it the path of least resistance. He gave it both barrels in truth and love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We have been loved in truth. The most loving thing is nothing short of truth. You bring it in grace, but it's always true. It needs to be true. He loved us in truth. And then he commanded this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There are commandments that we have been given, and they are truth, and we are called to obey. So part of loving is obeying. And You see that not only in the Son obeying and submitting His will to the Father and loving the Father that way, but Jesus then calling us in the same way. I have loved you in truth. Now do what I've said. Do what I've said. Given you commandments. Number 8, joyfully. God loves us joyfully. He has a love that displays itself in joy for us. Look at this. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for what? For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And He despised the shame, and He's now seated at the right hand of God. He saw joy in forgiveness and salvation now offered to the world. He offers that through His work on the cross that He walked into joyfully to show that love. He didn't just do it because He had to, or because the Father said to. He did it with joy. And He died a brutal death. God has loved us in joy, a joyous love. Now Jesus is victorious over death. And we can focus joy on the resurrection, but there is joy even in the cross, as hard as it was, the suffering, the challenge. And number 9, God has loved us and continues to love us faithfully. God is faithful in His love. He doesn't quit. He will not let up. He is faithful. It doesn't end. What He has said, He will do. How He has shown love in the past, He will show love in the future. He is a God of faithful love. For the Lord, He is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. God has loved us with a faithful love. There would be so many more that we could list. So many more elements of how we have been loved by God. Let's stick with those 9 for now and then turn the corner here. How are we to love? How are we to love? We are to love as God, just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. How has God loved us? Well, the list. Look at the list. That's just a start. And so we need to look at our hearts. We first look at the heart of God and we see unbelievable love, a very high bar. And then we need to regularly look inside in our hearts and say, oh Lord, do I love like you loved me? Do I have your heart in me? Do I see in my actions, in my words, in my thoughts, in my desires and my feelings and my affections, do I have your heart in me? Francis Chan, in his book Crazy Love, said it this way: God's definition of what matters is pretty straightforward. He measures our lives, the lives of Christians, by how we love. The measure of your life as a follower of Jesus is, how are you loving God first and foremost, and your neighbor? That's the call to worship. We talked about that a lot in Sunday school this morning. All of the law is captured in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord, or love your neighbor. Sums it all up. It's an excellent book. I would recommend it to you. Not everything he says in there is necessarily the way I would say it. In fact, he said this. He said, Christians are like manure. I won't stop there. He said, they're great when they're spread out, and sometimes not so great when they're all clumped together. They're really smelly. I thought that was kind of funny. But don't be offended. So true. He measures our lives by how we love. Look at the list. If nothing else, we need to take honest, just brutal assessment of our own hearts. Am I a person that loves humbly? Do I have a humble love in my heart for others? What does that look like in your life? How would you answer that question? Do you have a humble love that shows itself for others? How about a sacrificial love? What does it look like to love sacrificially. We have been loved sacrificially by God, and we are called now to love sacrificially. A living sacrifice, as Rocky put in Sunday school. No matter the cost, commit. I'm all in. I'm all in. Both feet. Whatever it will cost me, I will love. I will love because He loved me. He loved me. Sacrificially. Graciously. This means that I love others even when they don't deserve it. Even in my mind, when I can't conceive of how is it possible that they would say that or do that or not do that, I choose grace and show love. Grace and love. Grace and love. Is that in our hearts? Are we a people, if we're promoting loving relationships, are we a people that show grace in our love? If we forgive, we move forward, we release offense, we show grace. Patient. Are we patient in our love, the way we care for one another, in our marriages, in our parenting, at the workplace, in the walls of the church, outside the walls of the church? Are we patient in love? Patient in love. The Lord's not finished with me yet, and He's not finished with you yet either. I'm patient. Be patient. Of bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Never fails. Generous. Are you generous with your love? Generous in love. Not just a little bit, but mind-blowing love given. Outdo one another in showing love and hospitality. How does that look in your life, in your heart? Are you actively planning and preparing to show generous love to those in your life? Prayerfully, a prayerful love. What does a prayerful love translate then into your heart? If you are angry at somebody, pray for them. It's very difficult when you honestly bring them before the throne of God in prayer to stay angry. Pray for them. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Help them. Help me to love them. I pray for them. How about a truthful love? Is there truthful love at work in your life, in your heart? Do you love one another in truth? Sometimes the most hateful thing is to not speak up. To know someone is in blaring and blatant sin or wrong or hurting someone, and just to stand by and say nothing. If we love, we must speak. We must encourage. We must initiate. Love in truth. Speak the truth in love. In all grace, patiently. For the edifying and building up of the other. Truthful love. A joyful love. No, it's not like the Lord commanded me to love you, so I will. I love you. You know, give me a hug. Come on. No, it's a joyful love. He forgave me. I've been forgiven. How could I do any less for you? I joyfully forgive. I release. I love you. I love you joyfully. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. What joy awaits in your love of your neighbor? Joyful love and a faithful love. Are you faithful in your love? Let's just be clear. Married couples, be faithful in your love. Don't quit. Don't let up. I don't care how hard it gets. Persevere. Be faithful. Why? Because you said, till death do us part, before God. And marriage is bigger than you. Marriage is an illustration of God's love. And His love never quits. It never fails. So don't ever let up. Be faithful in your love for your spouse. Love your kids faithfully. Love your neighbor, your co-workers, even the ones that are hard to love. Love them. Love them faithfully. So many other words we could put up there. 1 Corinthians is a great reminder. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but in truth. It rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It never ends. Love never ends. He says just before that, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, I understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. If I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but I do it not in love. Can you imagine? Imagine right now the police break in and they drag me off and someone says, Tom stands up and says, no, take me. Well, he's going to die. No, I'll take his place. I will die for him. And he does so without love in his heart. Nothing. Nothing. That's the whole point. It starts here. You can pour your heart out and make a big deal and do amazing things, but the Lord examines the heart. Is my heart in love towards the other in all that I do? And if it's not, I'm wasting my time. I gain nothing without love. If anyone says, I love God, but I hate you, the brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And in this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Has anybody come to mind in your life? You don't understand, Pastor. They did this. She said that. He left when I was four and he never looked back. He never showed up. He just ran. We must love our brother. Whoever comes to mind, if you love God, you must love your brother. And so we look to the hearts of others. Look to God's heart. And then assess our own. Oh Lord, put your heart in me. Make my heart like your heart. And then we look out. From there, we look out to consider what we might do. And take this from Matthew. Then the king said, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. All of those things are tangible actions that we can do things. It's hands and feet. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The hearts of others. When we show love to the other, we show love to God. You can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as you love your neighbor as yourself. They're not separate commands. They come together. They meet. And in that, we show love without end. Love the Lord first and foremost. And one of the ways you do that is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Are you loving your neighbor? Whoever the Lord brings across your path, do you take the opportunity? I'm driving to work about a month ago. There's a car broken down on the back Smith Road there by the lake. And this guy's obviously in trouble. And so I pull over and we push his car way down there. And, well, what can I do? How can I help? Well, I need a ride to work. Okay, let's go. No accident. No accident. The Lord never allows a car to break down and brings one of us along on accident. Tell me, man, what's your name? How you doing? Well, why'd you stop? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And how is there anything else I can do? You going to be okay? Yeah, I'll be okay. All right. Michael works over here behind McDonald's. I don't know. What else happened? Opportunity? Yes. Take it. I was late to work. Who cares? Who cares? Just the little things. When you do that for your brother, you do that for the Lord. You do that for the King. What opportunities can we find in our community? Where are the needs? Even in our church, where are the needs? Where can we love one another? The opposite of the New Testament love is not hate, but actually self-love. What a fascinating thought. The opposite of the teaching of love in the New Testament is not actually hate, it is self-love. One of the things that we are all born into, we love ourselves more than the other. So love your neighbor as yourself is not a command that you need to love yourself first so you know how to, you love yourself automatically. The point is, love your neighbor like you automatically are bent to self-love. Love the other more than yourself. Piper writes this, John Piper, he says, love is the overflow and expansion of joy in God, which gladly meets the needs of others. Think of it like this. When you find your deepest satisfaction and joy in God, He fills your heart with love and joy, and it showers over the brim to bless others. When once you only thought about yourself and you were worried about not being late for work in your schedule, it just didn't work. You know, the whole Good Samaritan bit. Well, no, too busy. I'll step over the guy. Now all of a sudden you see an opportunity to shower the love of God on another person. It comes from joy in God. What is the deepest need? In whatever we do, it's so easy for the church to forget this. Social action, yes. Let's get going. We're working on local outreach committee. We want to be in our community doing things with our hands and our feet. We want to have our feet in the dirt and our hands in the dirt working and meeting needs. But everything we do, we want to evaluate carefully. What's the deepest need? How can we feed people who are hungry so that we can feed them the deepest and most important food, with the food of life, the water of life, the bread of life. How do we get to Jesus? That's our goal. We love people, real, honest love. I want to meet your need. Right here, the most pressing. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Okay, let's go. How about Jesus? Do you know Him? That's the more important thing. So the tangible needs get us to the most important need in everything we do. There are so many examples of mission work overseas that have lost track of Christ. They do all kinds of good things, and they forget to share the most important thing. So they've met needs that are tangible, but people will still die and go to hell. And we don't want to do that as a church. The most important need is Jesus, always. In every situation. If you want to plant the seed, you have to get in the dirt. You have to get in the dirt. I was looking at this picture. This guy's hands are dirty. They're dirty. Are your hands dirty? Love is messy. It can be messy. It'll take your time. It'll cost you money. It will cost you all kinds of things. What is the Lord laying on your heart? Where do you need to get your hands dirty? You see, it's easy to write a check for a ministry and say, go plant the seeds, someone, and to sit back or to stand off the side of the garden and throw seeds from a distance. It's like hanging flyers on doors or tracks. No, get in the garden, put the seeds in the dirt, and pour the water on. The Lord is the only one that can cause growth. But we're called to get in the dirt and plant the seeds. As a church, we have big dreams for this. The elders and forming teams are talking about what does it look like in Whatcom County for Good Shepherd Community to be in the dirt with our hands, in a ministry, owning it, really seeing the Lord develop it, so that when someone comes through the door, hey, what are you guys doing in your community? We know exactly what we're doing because we were there yesterday and the week before that and 10 years before that. How about overseas, internationally? Where are you guys at? Oh, man, let me tell you, I can't wait. This is where we're at. And every year we send a team over here. We're praying for them. We're doing all kinds of... this is who we are overseas. We're in the dirt. We have a big dream for that. We're going to be hearing from some missionaries who are working in the garden in Brazil here soon, next month. Be praying for them. Participate with their ministries. The love of God. We are committed to promoting loving relationships. You don't just promote loving relationships, you model them. You can't teach if you don't model. So if we're Good Shepherd Community Church, we should be living these out and teaching. We want to promote them in that way. So as a response this morning, just a few questions. Number one, are you longing for the love of God? I don't know the hearts of the people in this room, but I do know that God loves you. I know that for sure. And he sent his son to come and take your place and die your death and pay for your sins on that cross. And he did it because he loves you. Do you know his love? Have you received that love into your heart? I was delighted yesterday. We get together for breakfast and my little daughter starts to share the gospel, basically. And I said, well, Gracie, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Well, yeah, you know, I think so. And let's just pray. Okay. And she described the gospel and we prayed together. And I believe that something very exciting happened there as we prayed as a family. I believe that Gracie became a Christian. And she repented of her sin and she asked Jesus to come into her heart. And she's only 4 and a half. So I don't know her heart, but I do know Jesus and I do know his promises. We're delighted in that. Do you know the love of God? Is it in you? Have you repented of your sins? Have you clung to the cross, run to him, made him your Savior and Lord? If not, you're longing. You're looking. You're trying to fill the hole in your heart that is meant for the love of God to fill. You're filling it with all kinds of other things, and I guarantee you, you're not satisfied. You're not. You've been looking. You've been wandering and exploring, and nothing does it. Jesus will. Jesus will. Don't let another day pass without taking that opportunity. I'll give you a moment to pray that in a minute here. The second question, for those of you who know God in his son Jesus, he is your Savior, are you living in the love of God? As you look at his heart and you assess who he is, and then you look in your heart, is his love in your heart? Are you living in his love? Does it define you? Does it characterize you? Are you seeking to be more like him, to live in his love, to abide in him and walk with him? And number three, are you loving with the love of God? As you walk this earth, as the days go by, as you head to work and you walk through and you see the people, as you're shopping in the store, as you're whatever you're doing, are you loving others with the love of God? Is it in you? And is it shining out to the world? Let's pray. Father, I am so floored at your gift of grace and love that you have given in Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the world more important to me than Jesus. There is no one more important to us here at Good Shepherd Community Church than Jesus Christ. You have saved us in the gift of your Son. We thank you for him. We thank you for what we have in him. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet repented of their sins and turned to Jesus and made him their Lord and their Savior, I pray this morning that they wouldn't let the moment pass. You could say a prayer like this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I fall short. I can't solve this problem on my own. I need you to save me. I've been looking for your love in all the wrong places. And now I see your love in Jesus. I receive him this morning as my Savior. I turn from my sin and I ask that you would help me live for you and obey you and honor you and trust you. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. Come and save me this morning. If that is your prayer, and every Christian in this room, that is your prayer, I know. Delight in his love. Receive it with your whole heart and watch him change you. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Help us to be a church known for our love. A love that defines us. A love that we show to one another while we're inside these walls. And then that spills out over the brim to bless our community and our world. Lord, I pray for opportunities this week to do just that. I pray for experiences and interactions that you would bring to us sovereignly so that we can put this to work and literally embody your love to the world, that they might see you in our love. We celebrate what we see of your love on display in the hearts and lives of those in this church already, and we pray for more. In Jesus' name, amen.